Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. Welcome back, guys. As promised, today we are talking about Dogga. It is yoga, but with your dog. So if you don't know much about yoga, it is an exercise that involves stretching and working the muscles of your body while also focusing on breathing and balance and meditation. So it's this really overall mind, body, spirit workout. And it's really taken off. It's something that a lot of people have become attracted to because you get that physical experience while also being able to center yourself and focus on your body and healing and feeling good about yourself. So it's really done wonders for a lot of humans, and now it's starting to spread, and humans are seeing that if it's doing such amazing things for me, maybe it can do these amazing things for my dog. So in comes Dogga, and it's this way of doing yoga while incorporating your dog at the same time. There's different poses that are incorporated in the exercise, and some of them are fairly standard that we've heard of, like downward facing dog. Others are more for more experienced yoga students. And what Dogga does is bring your dog into it. So whether you're a beginner and you can do some of the easier poses, or you're more experienced and you can do some of the tougher ones, it incorporates using your dog in the exercise. So you're bonding with your pet, you're exercising with him, he's getting the same benefits that you're getting from it. It's a very calm, very soothing environment that you're bringing your dog into. So there's a lot of advantages to bringing your dog into exercise with you, and especially with Dogga, it's even more beneficial, I think. It's something that I have been inspired to try now after having a conversation with a woman named Ann Appleby. And Ann has been teaching yoga privately since about 1997. She currently teaches in the San Francisco Bay Area, but she also travels around to different corporations like Google, Oracle. She's done things with Stanford University. And she talks about yoga and the benefits of it. She also travels to consult and teach yoga all over the country and all over the world. So it's really kind of, I would certainly call her a yoga expert. And she also is a pet owner. So she knows the importance of exercising with your pet, the bond, and as well as just getting your pet out there to exercise so that they don't live a sedentary lifestyle. So Anna is involved with she started this company. What happened basically was when she started getting into yoga, you know, she realized that there is a lack of things when it comes to yoga, everything from clothing to yoga mats. So she started out creating this company, and they really marketed like hip and fun yoga clothes. Now we kind of know yoga clothes as being very trendy anyway, because a lot of people are into like yoga pants and stuff like that. So it's more prevalent now, but back when she started in the early 90s, it wasn't. So and in the late 80s even, it wasn't. Yoga wasn't a well-known thing. There certainly wasn't any great clothing that made you feel good about yourself while you were working out. So she starts this company. She also suffered a few pretty serious car accidents. So with that and the healing process, you know, it makes it kind of difficult to exercise when your body's had trauma like that. Yoga is a great way to exercise if you're somebody that, you know, your body isn't capable of doing some of the more extreme exercises like hiking and running and things like that. So, you know, she stuck with yoga, but she realized that there weren't mats that were really basically every mat was the same. It was very plain. So now she's created this yoga mat. Her company is called Yoga Force, and this is her mat is the patented Yoga Force A-line mat, and it has an alignment system kind of built into it, and so it can be used for physical therapy, yoga, Pilates, basically any kind of floor exercise. So her company is Yoga Force, and I reached out to her. Again, obviously, she's instructor of kind of all things yoga, but I really wanted to talk to her about Dogga and the benefits that it has for you and for your pet. It's inspired me to try it, and I hope it inspires some of you to try it. If you guys want to jump on our website, it's theoryofpets.com. You can leave any comments, questions, suggestions, anything like that for me on there. You can type those or you can record them. If you record them, I may use them in future podcasts. And of course, if you jump on iTunes, you can find all of our past podcast episodes, as well as leave us a review, which really helps me reach out to people and just show them that I do have listeners and that they're enjoying what they hear. So if you guys could take a minute or two to do that, that would be great. I'm going to go ahead and let you listen to this interview, and then I'll recap at the end.
So if you don't mind, could you just give me a brief explanation of what exactly Dogga is and how how their dogs would participate with them?
Dogga is yoga with your dog. And I started it because I accidentally got a dog. And I'm a yoga teacher, so I do yoga every morning, and the little puppy was doing yoga with me, like, literally. I did downward facing dog, then I did upward facing dog, and the puppy mirrored everything I did.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought it was so cute. And then I'm like, Madison, do down dog. And she would do down dog, and then I'm like, Madison, down. And then she's such a smart little Pomeranian.
Huh.
So it kind of got out of control. Like, she would do downward facing dog all the time, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to make her do that because it's just, like, ridiculous amount of times that she's doing downward facing dog. But it's a really good way to bond with your pet, because pets also get stressed out, I think, too.
Oh, definitely. And
so you can give them massages, you can hold them, you can look at their eyes, and that's something that you really can't do when you're taking them for a walk.
Sure.
And just like babies, I think everybody does yoga, and I also think every dog does yoga. So it's kind of a natural thing. When you were like 3 years old, I bet you put your foot in your mouth. I bet you did somersaults. I bet you did yoga. And then when you were four, your mom said, you can't put your foot in your mouth.
Right.
So you know what I mean?
It's like, yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah. So it de-stresses you, and it de-stresses your dog, and it's kind of fun, and it's a free-for-all, and you don't have to do every pose perfectly, and your dog could go run around. And it's interesting because I've done a lot of Dogga classes at Burlingame. Where are you, Samantha?
I'm actually in Maine.
Oh, okay. I'm in Burlingame, California, which is very close to the San Francisco International Airport.
Okay.
So I've taught yoga several times at a place called the Burlingame Rec Center,
mm-hmm.
Parks and Rec. And I've also taught yoga and Dogga privately with people in Hillsboro and in Burlingame. And also, I was just in Los Angeles, and I taught a little bit of Dogga when I was there.
Wonderful.
It's just a really kind of a chill activity you can do by yourself, and then you can do with your dogs, and it's not judgmental, so you don't have to do it perfectly, but it is fun.
Definitely. So for beginners, and I know you said it's definitely sort of a natural thing, but obviously as we age, we stop doing, like you said, some of the more natural, I guess, yoga, you know, stretching and that kind of stuff. So for people that are beginners and they feel like they're maybe not flexible enough to do yoga, that's one of the things that I think I hear the most when I talk to people about doing Dogga myself, that people say, oh, wow, I'm not flexible enough to do that. So what would your advice be for those beginners who maybe think that they're not going to be capable of doing this exercise?
Well, I just got out of teaching a class at Oracle, and Oracle has employees that are very flexible and very active, and then they have other employees that are new to it, and then people say they're not flexible, and I hate that because everybody's flexible. So it's just, you practice yoga, and something you couldn't do 5 years ago, you can do now. So you have to modify positions. If something, if the teacher says do this, and you don't feel comfortable doing that, you don't do it. You modify the position. Like if they say bend over and straighten your legs, well, if it hurts to straighten your legs, you would bend your legs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a huge believer in modification. Also, people get injured all the time. And if somebody went skiing and they come back to a yoga class and they have hurt their knee, then they would like kind of go to child's pose, or they wouldn't do the poses that everybody else is doing in class because they just hurt their knee and their knee has to heal, right?
Right.
So you kind of, you always have to think in the back of your mind, hey, I'm my own personal trainer.
Oh, that's great advice. So what can you tell me a little bit about the benefits of Dogga for both people and pets? I know you briefly touched on the bonding, which is definitely one of the things that I find most beneficial, but I know that there are health benefits for both humans and dogs as well.
Yes, because dogs get stressed. So it is hysterical because you get, and I wouldn't be able to say this if I haven't done a lot of teaching of dogs, but, and humans, but so you have the first class at the Burlingame Rec Center, and you bring in, I wish we had footage because I have been on Dutch TV, and I guess, you know, that footage only lasts so long. And I was also on Telemundo television, and that footage lasts so long. So basically, don't worry, I'm sure somebody else will come and film a class. But it's really funny because at the beginning of the class, the people and the dogs are all running around. And then at the end of class, everybody's chilling. All the dogs are relaxed, and all the people are relaxed. So it works for both of the species because the humans do a series of breathing exercises, and they bring their dogs close to them. And then the dogs, you know, learn how to breathe with their masters, and everybody starts relaxing.
So it is at
every single class. It's never happened that the dog stays hyper the whole class, but everybody starts chilling, and at the end of class, everybody is working on their breath or are relaxed, and they are in a zen state to leave the class.
Have you ever had
that? It's 100% of the, 100% of the time. I'm not kidding. It's really weird. I've had the most hyper. My dog is a very hyper dog. Have you seen Madison? I'm sure you caught. Did you get me? Because you saw Dogga on yoga floors?
Yes, I did. And I checked out some of the videos.
Yeah, Madison is extremely hyperactive. So if it works on her, it'll work on any dog. But she always greets all the dogs, and she's running around, and then I pick her up and we start, you know, she looks in my eyes, and then she starts relaxing, and then she starts, like, focusing on my breath, and then she relaxes, and then I give her a massage, and that makes her relax even more. So 100% of the time, all the humans and the dogs are relaxed by the end of the class.
Have you ever had a dog who just was not going to be into it at all?
I had a dog once that was adopted, and I think it was abused.
Oh.
And it came into the class late, and it was kind of disruptive, but at the end of class, totally was chill.
Interesting. Are there any breeds or sizes that seem to excel? I would obviously think it would be easier with a smaller breed.
It's easier with a smaller dog, absolutely. But, you know, you can get a big dog, and, like, I've taught a collie before. And, you know, they could put their shoulders, you could stand up and they could put their paws on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. That's a good back stretch for them. And it's just, there's just a very limited amount of things you can do with a big dog. But you could also, like, look at a big dog's eyes and you can massage a big dog, right?
Right.
So it's very beneficial to big dogs as well as it is to little dogs because it's really good for all the dog's joints. even if you're a big dog or a little dog.
Absolutely.
Joints in their hips.
So as I mentioned, I know the practice is starting to grow right now, and it definitely seems to be something that's offered more and more urban areas where there's more people. But do you believe that it's going to continue to keep growing?
Yes. For some reason, I believe in the recession. Like in 2008, did you notice like that everybody started getting a dog?
It is kind of funny how the recession hit, but then people, this like boom in dog ownership happened at the same time.
Yeah, because people were scared, they wanted comfort. So, yeah, I believe, and also we're living in very weird times.
Absolutely.
The election is making people, I'm not going to say what I am, but it's like the election's making people really nervous. And then I think the terrorism is making people really nervous, especially like the lone wolf stuff. And if you're a Republican or if you're a Democrat, it doesn't matter. No one can counteract that. I mean, we don't know how to stop that.
That's right.
So I think people are really nervous about that. And I think yoga is really on the rise because of it. Yoga has been steadily on the rise after, 2000, whenever we had the terrorist act in New York City.
Yeah.
So it's been steadily on the rise, and now we're having these lone wolf terrorist acts all over the world. It is getting much more popular.
It's interesting that you point that out. Obviously, the terrorist attacks in 2001, over the last 15 years, like you said, the entire world seems to be getting more nervous, more anxiety, more stress. I think, too, just as a society in general, especially here in the United States, everything has to be super fast-paced, and people are just going. And, it's interesting that you say that yoga is increasing as the stress level rises also.
Right, exactly. Because the only thing is, like, for an hour, you can't think about anything.
Right. You're clearing your mind. That's interesting.
You're clearing your mind and you're thinking about your breath.
So how about, because we do have a few readers who have asked some different questions about it. So what about advice for dog owners who might be looking for an instructor or a studio in their area? Do you have any advice on how they should choose if there's multiple options in their area?
Yes, I just talked about that today at Oracle because I teach at like Google and Stanford University and various places in Silicon Valley. And oftentimes in those situations, people get yoga teachers who don't know what they're talking about. Like they took a 2-week class online and mm-hmm. they just are really new to it. And then they go and teach a class and they don't pay attention to their individual students. I always say that, go to somebody who has some experience. You really need experience when you're like years of experience. You practice yoga. It takes years and years of experience to get it. So I'd say my number one thing is to go to an experienced yoga teacher.
Absolutely.
Because you could say you're a yoga teacher if you took an online class for 2 weeks.
Right.
And I don't like that. I think that's really bad for yoga.
Is there any kind of certification or credentials that people need? Or like you said, they can take an online class and call themselves a yoga teacher and get a job anywhere.
Yeah, and that's not good. I think you should go to, I think you should go to reputable teachers, and there are reputable teachers out there. You just can Google them.
Yeah.
I started yoga at Paramount Pictures. I took from Marion Stork. She was a fabulous yoga teacher. She was not accredited because she accredits other yoga teachers. I took from Brian Keft, who's a fabulous yoga teacher. He has Power Yoga in Los Angeles. He teaches all over the world. I don't think he's accredited, but he gives accreditation to other yoga teachers. He knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's Steve Ross also in Los Angeles. I mean, those are my teachers. I mean, I've been studying for years. But it's not really fair to say I can teach yoga if I take a class online. That's just one of those things you can't really do online, I think. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. It's something you need the hands-on experience for.
Yeah, you need the hands-on experience, and also you need to teach a lot. I mean, I've taught like thousands of classes, and that makes me good because I taught every single kind of person. And the other thing is when I teach these big classes, I can tell if the room is intermediate or advanced or beginner, and then I pick that up immediately, and then I have to change my class.
Sure.
You know, you don't go in with a preconceived notion on how to teach a class if half your students are brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to design it for the individual. And then you can, so like I kind of, over the years, we did teach a dog a class with all different kinds of dogs. Like there were really big dogs in the class, there were really little dogs in the class. And then I figured, well, you know what? It's hard to teach that because you don't want the little dogs to be afraid of the really big dogs. So it's better to do a little dog class and then separately give a big dog class.
That's absolutely. Yep, I can see how that would happen. And what about but for people? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that the range of motion with a little dog, you could use a little dog in a weight, right? While you were in the yoga class. And you can't use the big dog as a weight because that might hurt your back.
Sure. So what about for people who, because I've had a few people mention that maybe they're not super comfortable in the beginning going to a studio and finding an instructor, but they're thinking about maybe starting at home just to get comfortable with it before they went. One, I guess the first part of that question is, would you recommend starting at home for people that aren't comfortable? And then two, if so, I guess, what would you recommend? Is there any, are there any maybe DVDs or online sources or anything that you would recommend them to start with?
Yes. I actually think they should get my Yoga Force A-line mat, which is yogaforce.com, and it's really good for you to cue your own body alignment, because when you do downward facing dog and one of your hands is way up and the other one of your hands is way down, you're not going to notice because you're not looking at your hands. So the Yoga Force A-Line mat gives you guidance when no one's around, and it helps you align your practice. And the way that people get injured in yoga is because they're not aligned. And that kind of goes for all floor activity, like TRX or bar method or Pilates.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to be in alignment. And I love Kristen McGee. She's out of New York, and she's got some really good DVDs. Or like, you can buy those on Amazon, I think. Like, she's very good instructional for beginners, I think. I like her for beginners.
Excellent. Do you want to talk a little bit more about your mat and how you designed that?
Sure. I got into a car accident, and I went to Brian's class. And Brian goes, Applebee, in front of 300 people, because he used to pack them in like 300 people were in his class. He's like, Applebee, look at your hands. And I'm like, oh, yeah, wow, my hands are completely out of whack. And it's because my hip bones got messed up when I got in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, do you want to fix yourself or do you want to just stay all screwed up? I'm like, no, I want to fix myself.
Of course.
And he goes, why don't you put a line down your mat so you can tell that your palms are parallel?
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. So I got, you know, one of those regular old mats. At that time when I started doing yoga with Brian, like, I started in the 90s, the early 90s, and 1987 is when I started taking at Paramount Pictures. So, I got into the car accident, I can't even remember, like, in the very late 90s, but I had already been doing yoga for so long. But they were all, like, blue. All the yoga mats were blue at that time. So I'm like, oh, I need to, like, invent a different kind of shape for a yoga mat. And your body is a line where you are bigger at your shoulders and smaller at your feet. And I thought, well, if I invented this yoga mat where ergonomically designed, where it's tapered and it's a little bit wider at your shoulders, it'd give you a lot more real estate in the room or people wouldn't think you were a pig. But it would cheat, it kind of cheat the real estate space in the room. Yeah. So I kind of invented this yoga mat that was tapered, and then it had these lines. But every single one of the lines is useful. Like, you can use it for downward facing dog. You can use it for warrior one, warrior two. You can use it for frog pose. So it's got, you know, the lines, the one line with three intersecting lines. But you use, it's simple body alignment. So you use all those lines when you're doing yoga. You also use them when you're doing bar method at home. That's a big one over here in California. Bar is really exploding. Have you guys heard of that one?
It is. It's really, you know, kind of just getting around out here, but I have heard of it numerous times.
There's one called Pure Bar, and then there's another one called Bar Method. Those are chains. Pure Bar and Bar Method, and they teach kind of ballet moves, but they keep on reiterating that you need your body in alignment, and people need alignment, because there's a thing called proprioception. And that's when you don't really know where your body is in space when you're going really fast. So that's actually why you need lines on your mat, so you can tell what you're doing.
I have to say a huge thank you to Ann Appleby for chatting with me about Dogga and all its benefits. If you guys have any questions about the practice of Dogga or anything that I might be able to answer for you, feel free to jump on our website, which is theoryofpets.com, and there is a section there where you can either type your questions and I will certainly answer those, or you can also record questions and I might even use them on a future podcast. So check out theoryofpets.com. You can also find all of my previous podcasts on there. And if you guys don't mind, just jump on iTunes. It only takes a few seconds and you can leave a review. The more reviews that I get, the easier it is for me to reach out to experts like Anne and talk with them about everything involved in the pet industry. If you guys have any particular things that you're looking for, anything that you've been wondering yourself, any burning questions that you can't find the answer to, make sure you leave those on our website as well. And I will be looking at those questions and choosing some to answer in future podcasts. So whether you have a dog, a cat, a horse, a pig, whatever it is, if you have a question and it's pet related, I will try and get to the bottom of it for you. Thanks for listening today, and I will be back next week with another great episode.